now for that reason. Lord God, we do want to enter your courts in praise again today. We thank you that you are God over all. You're sovereign. This virus has not caught you by surprise. Our world situation has not. It has caught many of us by surprise, Lord. We weren't thinking about something like this that would affect our economy, would affect our schools, would affect our churches, would affect missions, and so many activities would affect our economy and many people's work and that type of thing, and certainly the health of some. And I pray, Lord, first of all, for those that are sick with the coronavirus, Lord, that you would give them strength and healing, that you would let them get medical care that would be helpful to them, that you would protect those that are working with them and their family members, those that might come into contact. Lord, I pray for our leaders, that you would give them abundant wisdom right now, that they would not respond in fear that would make the situation worse. And I pray for our community, Lord, because we've already seen the shelves be cleaned out of certain things, Lord, and maybe some of those things were needed. And I wonder if some is just added fear of the unknown. And I just pray that you would help our community, Lord, to stand firm and strong right now and to not have hysteria and to not run rampant with fear that will not be helpful to the situation. I pray, O Lord, that you would certainly be with those health care workers, those in our local hospitals, those local doctors, Lord, that might even think that they're looking at another flu case and it be this, and that will be the case. It is the case in a lot of communities in our country and around the world. I just pray that you would give those health care workers some added protection, that you would help them to be the help and not the victim, Lord, in as many cases as could please you. I do pray that Christians, including those at Highland Baptist, Lord, that we would respond with faith and not fear, that we would know the truths of your word, that our help comes from you, that you are our strong tower, you are the great physician, you are the one that can help us if this comes into our community in a strong way. I pray, Lord, that you would help us stand ready to minister to a community if it gets more ravaged, or even the effects from some of the shutdowns might make it necessary for some to need help. I pray that you'd remind us to check on those that are unable to worship with us at the time that might be more frail with their health. I pray, O Lord, most of all, that you would use this as a catalyst for revival, that you would let us see, Lord, that we need you. Our nation does have sin on its hands. We do need to be drawn to prayer. We realize from your word that if we forsake our evil ways and we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek your face, then you've committed to bring revival in response to that. So I pray that we'd have that kind of response, Lord, not just those out in the world, but those here today. Lord, help us pray. Help us humble ourselves. Help us to seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Anything in our lives, Lord, that we need to forsake that would make us right with you, I pray you'd help us get right in those areas. I know that if your people who are called by your name get right with you, that's what brings revival to the rest of the land. It's the starting point. So, Lord, start with me and start with the ones that are here today, Lord, that we might see our need for you, and that we might understand that you often do use these ways to draw us close to you. I pray, O Lord, that you would be with us when we turn our attention to your word today, Lord, that you give us the word that we need, one of these but God moments where you step in and change things. I ask for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 31. Well, having completed the Gospel of John just last Sunday, we start in this new series on but God moments. We're going to look at a number of texts in Scripture, probably spend a year looking at different texts that often say but God or but the Lord or but Jesus or but the Holy Spirit. There's circumstances where things are going one way, but God steps in and brings a change and sends things the other way, usually in a positive direction, sometimes in order to bring judgment and to step in a way like that. But today we're looking at a way that God steps in, and he lets us know that even when we are having trouble, even if somebody is doing us wrong, God knows the true story. So let's look at Genesis chapter 31, beginning at verse 6, and you can just remain seated for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word, beginning at verse 6, Genesis 31. And you know that with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said, thus the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said, thus the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Then Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock, all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's, and Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. When we are done wrong by others, we may wonder if God sees and if God cares, especially if the situation lasts for a long time. Well, the Bible tells us God does see and God does care. And there are several ways that he can use a situation like that to help us grow. There will be a but God moment at some point. God does know the true story. I want you to see, first of all, this morning that God gives us strength to endure. We can learn from verse 41 of this chapter that Jacob had lived with Laban for 20 years. He served him 14 years for his two daughters and 6 more years for part of the flock. And it had been a very long 20 years for old Jacob. They never did get along. Trickery and deception has been Laban, the father-in-law's, game all along. He deceived Jacob about his daughters. He changed Jacob's wages 10 times, saying that he was paying this, but then paying him differently. The rules were always changing with Laban, and it seemed like Jacob could never win. But the fact is, Jacob survived. He made it through this long ordeal. He made it through those 20 years because God gave him strength to make it through. those years. And maybe you are in a tough situation today, and for the moment, you cannot change that situation. Maybe it's controversy with a family member. Maybe it's a tough boss who is always changing the rules. Maybe it's even some strife at church or with a certain circle of your friends. There can be plenty of situations that are beyond our control to change. Some terrible illness, a problem child, loss of a business, a natural disaster that ruins your property or takes away lives of your family members or injures someone. An accident that changes everything. A coronavirus that we didn't even know about until just recently, and now it's affected our whole world. And certainly it's affected some in a very, very strong way. And I don't believe we've seen the end of it yet. It is going to have some lasting effects for a while in our economy. And even with whether we agree with the mass hysteria and the way the media has run away with it or not, that will have an effect. And friend, it could be that it physically affects some of our people. It is in the Mid-South some, a few cases. And so I'm just telling you, friend, I couldn't stop that and you couldn't stop that. That's beyond our control. So there's a good way for us to see immediately there are some things that affect our lives that are beyond our control, and yet God can give us strength to endure. That's what I want you to know today, friend. God can give us strength to endure. He's good for it. He's promised it to His children. And believe me, friend, I know the struggle of some uncertainty and wishing that you can change something that you cannot change. But I can testify to you personally that God will give you strength to endure. Pastor Jack Graham wrote, "Many people these days think that faith is a secret formula for escaping trials and suffering and pain, but it's simply not true. In fact, in some instances, it's quite the opposite. What we learn from persecuted believers in the New Testament is so important because of that reason. We can't escape trouble. These followers were tortured and beaten, and they experienced emotional and physical anguish and mistreatment, the likes of which most of us will never know. But even in the midst of such sacrifice and suffering, they refused to deny their faith. They endured to the end. And what we need to think about is how did they endure such suffering like that? And I want to make that clear. They endured because they had a faith that is not immunity from pain. And more than that, they knew that God would sustain them and strengthen them through the things that they faced. I wonder if you can say that about your faith today. Do you have the kind of faith in Jesus that gives you strength even when you're in hard times? Do you have the kind of faith in Jesus that endures through life's harshest moments? That's what we need. Psalm 46:1, which I held to so tenaciously through my hardest days so far on planet Earth, says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And if God is our strength, and the Bible declares it like that, I just came to tell you, you can believe it. You can endure because of it. God is our strength. He can give you strength to endure. Second thing I want you to see is God can intervene to accomplish His will. He intervenes in a number of ways. He intervenes sometimes by leading us. In verse 11, we see that the angel of God, we normally take that to be pre-incarnate appearances of Christ, the angel of God, spoke to Jacob in a dream. And he basically told him, you know, "I'm blessing you. I've seen what Laban's doing." And in verse 13, he says, "I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise. Get out of this land and return to the land of your family." He told him what to do. He led Jacob. And for you, God may use a dream, but I believe these days it's a lot more likely that He'll use His word. You know, Jacob didn't have the Old Testament even. So he only had words that were directly revealed to him, like this one. And the words of God that were revealed to him passed down by his fathers. like Isaac and Abraham. But he got a word here from God. God led him to the next place. And God will lead you like that, friend, to the next place. Or to the next step. Or to the next action. God wants you to know what to do next. How to respond. How to be led out of your tough situation. And so when God intervenes, sometimes it'll be by leading us. Sometimes he'll intervene by protecting us. We notice in verse 7, Jacob gives this testimony that Laban deceived him, changed his wages 10 times, but Jacob tells his wives, but God did not allow him to hurt me. I just believe we're very safe until we accomplish God's will for our lives. Now, I'm not telling you that we're not going to be hurt if we follow God. It didn't work out like that way for Paul, did it? Didn't work out like that way for Peter. Didn't work out that way for Jesus, right? He went to the cross because he was doing what the Father wanted him to do. He was persecuted a lot because he was doing what the Father wanted him to do. He was criticized. He was mocked. He was beat. And friend, the truth is we might have some hardship in life. But what I'm telling you is until God gets through with the purpose of your life, you are safe in his hands. He's going to look after you like this. He's going to protect you in order for you to do his will that he has for you in life. And so when we think about the ways that God protects us, I believe we have to qualify it a little bit. It's not just that God protects us wherever we are, but it's also that he's beside us in the storm. And if you really do know him as Lord and Savior, that'll be true for you. One author said it like this: we're far more secure in the storm with Jesus in our boat than we'll ever be on the shore without him. That's the type of contrast that I'm wanting you to see today. We need to stand close beside Jesus and to walk with the Lord because we're going to be more safe there, even if we are in a storm of life, than we would be on the shore without him. David Jeremiah said he'll lead you to and through some rough places. It may be that you have found yourself already in that old gospel ship, rocked by the waves and thrashed by the downpour with lightning and thunder all around you. The moment may come when you say, I didn't sign up for this. I know I sang wherever he leads, I'll go, but can't we at least check the weather forecast first? How could he lead me in the storm like this one? And just cling to the knowledge, Jeremiah says, that you're more secure in the tempest with Jesus than you could ever be in the calmest place without him. And the storm is for a good purpose and usually for a short duration. I tell you, friend, I'm saying that one of the ways that he intervenes is that he leads us. Another way he intervenes is that he protects us. And a third way that he intervenes is he intervenes sometimes by direct action. And he does that for Jacob too. In verse 24, it's one of the two or three but God verses in this passage. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. Now, when they do get together, they still have a heated verbal exchange, but God had put Laban on notice right here. I believe if we put it in today's vernacular, he's basically saying, you better be careful. Don't mess with Jacob too much. Don't do him harm. You don't have to bless him. You just be careful. God is saying to the enemy, really, the other side, be careful. He intervenes in order to communicate that to father-in-law Laban here. So it shows me, friend, that God does intervene in the affairs of men. And he must do so in order for his will to be done. Jacob was under covenant with God. And so he had to get back to the promised land. He had to get back to Canaan. He had to become the great nation that God promised that he would be. And God has a way of intervening sometimes by direct action, friend. I think sometimes we perceive it and see it, and other times we may not. I believe He intervenes directly sometimes to advance the gospel also. I was encouraged by something I read by Jerry Rankin in 2007. Jerry Rankin spoke of the global advance of the Southern Baptist mission work. He said the number of new churches planted each year has grown from a few thousand to over 23,000 in 2006. Missionaries have witnessed the power and providence of God using warfare, political upheaval, and natural disasters through the world to open doors and doors of opportunity so that more than 100 unreached people groups a year are being engaged with the gospel. And here's what a guy who had a lot to do with it had to say. He said that has not been so much the result of IMB's strategy and their diligence and hard work as it has been demonstrated the mighty works of God. In other words, he's saying it was some things that weren't planned for, things that we would perceive as negative. I believe today he'd probably include the coronavirus, but you see the specifics, warfare. How in the world could the gospel advance as a way like that? Well, what if some refugees get over in a land where we can share the gospel with them? What if missionaries have greater access because some of them flee and get to a place where we can have access to them? This has been the case. And those people are still in danger, and it might still be a dangerous way. But friend, we have seen that the gospel has been able to advance as God uses ways like this. Even in our area, if we want to look more immediately, I believe these recent storms that came through DeSoto County and parts of Tate, and that gave us opportunity to respond and show the love of Christ to people. And that happened, friend, in our community. And so sometimes we see this more immediately, how things that we would perceive as negative bring us opportunities to share the gospel and show the love of Jesus. And sometimes God directly intervenes in order to help us make those advances. So God gives a strength to endure. He can intervene. He often does. And a third thing I want you to see today is God does note your affliction. He already said to Jacob, "I have seen all that Laban is doing to you." And then down in verse 42, Jacob says this, "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." So friend, I'm saying that whenever we are enduring something like being done wrong or any other trial, it's natural for us to wonder if God is taking note of it. And I want you to see today the Bible answer is yes. He is taking note of it. He does see what's happening to us. God has seen our affliction. Psalm 43, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as those who have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." An anonymous Christian wrote, "Don't worry, God is never blind to your tears, never deaf to your prayers, never silent to your pain. He sees, He hears, and He will deliver." Surely you can think about cases, maybe in your life right now, but certainly some from your past where you cried out to God, and you might have thought for a little while it was falling on deaf ears. I've had those seasons. You know I've had some of those seasons recently, right? But I tell you, friend, I believe God's word. I believe He hears our word, that He has a plan, that our prayers never fall on deaf ears, especially if we know Jesus. He is not silent to our pain. He's taking note of your affliction. And the fourth thing I want you to see today is God matures you through that hardship. When we are treated wrong, for one thing, it's a human tendency for us to see it all as the other person's fault. And maybe a particular part of it is. But usually something I've observed is there's, in many situations, there's some blame to go around. And one of the ways that God did, or that he might do in a hardship, is to have you do some introspection. I believe that's part of what he did with Jacob. Now, it's very clear that father-in-law Laban is a schemer, right? He's a deceiver. He tricks and he schemes and he swindles folks. And he did it for years to Jacob. And it is wrong and it is a problem. But you know what we can say about young Jacob from the Bible too? He's a deceiver and a schemer. And he did that mostly in his younger life. Jacob was clever when he was young. And he deceived his brother, didn't he? And he deceived his own father. And he rebelled against letting God do things his way. God had promised him he was going to be the one with the greatest blessing. But he went out in a deceptive way to try to do it his own way. And so Jacob's got some little blood on his hands, what I'm telling you, friend. And so God allowed a little taste of his own medicine to come his way. He was no match for this new father-in-law, Laban. Laban knows how to scheme too. And so God apparently uses this time of trial to help Jacob wake up to his own need for a change. And Jacob slowly did change and become the patriarch that he was destined to be. And so I'm just saying to you today, for one thing, if you're in a situation of being done wrong or having some other trial on your hands, could there be some introspection that you need to do concerning yourself? Maybe there's some things God wants you to have a checkup on as well. Another way that he used this hardship to mature Jacob is it caused him to listen to God. Nearly all cases of trouble tend to have that effect. They ought to have that effect for the believer if we respond rightly. I know for sure, friend, that I have been the closest to God during times of difficulty. It's then that I prayed the hardest. It's then that I've looked up the most. It's then that I asked God for His will and for Him to make that clear. It's then that I've read the Bible for the application of it right now and not just to study. I'm telling you, friend, God will use hardships to help us grow. And I hope He uses this virus that way and any other tough thing going on in your life. If you're in a tough spot today, I hope you're listening to God. And another way that things like this are used to help us mature towards is to prove us in battle, I believe. We have a modern adage, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think another saying that I like is battle-tested soldiers do better in the next battle. Writing of the storms of life and grief, June Hunt said, "How true the saying, all sunshine makes a desert." God knows that if you never experience storms in this life, if the rain clouds never release water, you'll never see the flower gardens grow. You need to blossom in the areas of sympathy, empathy, and compassion, understanding, perspective, and wisdom. Whatever's in the past can be used for God's glory. The storms of sorrow should never be wasted. By God's design, grief even will better your heart and your life. Grief will make you grow. Now, friend, how might that look in Jacob's life? Well, I'll tell you this. We're in Genesis chapter 31 right now. And he's not renamed Israel until Genesis chapter 32. He has to go through this time to begin to become the patriarch that God really wanted him to be. God knew what it took, and he used the hardship to battle test him for the next battles that he would receive. And do you know Jacob begins, for the most part, he begins to do better and better. He's going to meet his brother. What's the first thing they do is, we don't read this during those 20 years very much of Jacob, but what he does now is he prays for God to protect him. He becomes a man of prayer. He becomes a man of spiritual growth. He becomes one who wants God to lead him now instead of going his own way, because that didn't work out too well. and it's not going to work out too well for you. But what we want is not just happiness, we want holiness. What we want is not just relief of any hardship, we want God's will to happen in our life. And I submit to you, friend, that Jacob would have never been the admirable patriarch that he ended up being were it not for these hardships at this point in his life. And I want to submit that you would not be the person that you are today without the trials and tests you've already experienced in your life. Difficulty matures us. Grief gives us compassion so that we can walk with others who are grieved. Tragedy even puts our faith to the fire and shows whether it's genuine or not. Battle-tested soldiers do better in the next battle. Friend, I've got a prediction today that's a lot more certain than what the weathermen have done this past week or so. And that prediction is one that you already know by experience in life. If you're not already in a storm, storms are certainly coming your way. You will be tried. With that in mind, let me ask you, are you in the boat with Jesus? That's what's going to count the most when that trial comes, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I cannot imagine, friend, being some of the places I've been and going through some of the things I've gone through without Jesus in the boat. Wouldn't want to do that, friend. Some things are tough enough with him in the boat, but I tell you, I cannot imagine not having Jesus to go through some of the hardships of life. If you get Jesus in the boat with you, you're going to have some but God moments. He's going to step in. He's going to step in at some point, and it's going to be the right point. And it's going to be after he gets through molding you and making you into the person he wanted to use that for in your life. This virus situation will be over with when God deems it to be over with. Right now, how's he using that in your life? Where are you at spiritually? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, for challenging us with your word. I thank you that there are but God moments, not only in these narratives in Scripture, but in our lives today. We know that there's times that you have led us. We know that there are times that you have protected us. We know that there are times, Lord, that you have guided us by your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would intervene in situations in our people's lives today. Some, Lord, just thinking about some of the hardships we can have. Some have already thought about some situation like that in their life. Maybe they have a problem child. Maybe they have a boss who's unruly and who changes the rules. And maybe they have a situation where they can't win. And maybe they've already been affected by illness in a major way, and that's consuming their life. And maybe they've experienced the loss of loved ones that's forever changed them, Lord. I just pray that they would see that you can intervene. There can be a but God because you have a plan for their life. You want to make them into the patriarch or matriarch that you want them to turn out to be. You want to use these situations to make us stronger. You want to use them to test us so that we'll do better in the next battle. But Lord, I believe the way you would use hardship for an unbeliever is to let them see that they better get in the boat with Jesus. Because trials are certain, they're coming. And I just wouldn't want to face any more without Jesus. And I pray that if somebody here doesn't know him, that they would confess with their mouth this morning that Jesus is their Lord and boss. While believing in their heart, God raised him from the dead after he paid for their sins on the cross, I know you'd save them. And Lord, if there are others that need to make decisions or even have special prayer at the altar today, I pray that they'd feel free to do that. That you'd do whatever you want to do in each one of our lives. We pray for that revival, Lord. We pray that we would see the meaning in what you're doing in our world and in our immediate lives. We pray that we would be looking with the eyes of Scripture so that we would know you're wanting to bring about revival. You might be bringing about the second return of the Lord Jesus. And you're readying your people, and you're readying the last ones who could come to Jesus before it's too late. I pray that you'd bless our response time. Lord, cover it with your Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.